there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bill the producer is in the studio with me today, as well as Captain Patrick from the World of Boating's hanging over just a little bit. You hanging for a while here, Patrick?
Until you unlock the studio door.
Okay, I'll let him out momentarily. But, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this is considered a holiday weekend, once again. But, you know, we have Earth Day tomorrow. And I don't know if it's a holiday, technically a holiday. But for divers, Earth Day is a big deal. You know,
yes,
we got to protect our water planet. And I got to say,
I'm taking the day off from work.
I don't know if this is the over commercialization of Earth Day that is starting to develop. But on the way into the studio today, Bill,
yes,
I saw
the Earth.
No, I saw someone dressed up as a giant Earth, waving to the. I guess he was waving. He looked like a mess. But right out here on the road in front of our studio, there's a guy dressed up as a giant Earth, I assume for Earth Day, waving at all the people. Yeah, actually, I could have swore I saw him.
Don't tell me that it's Drunken Santa. Don't tell me Drunken Santa has a glommed onto yet another holiday. He was the drunken Easter whatever the heck he was.
Easter bunny.
Yeah, he didn't look like a bunny to me. He looked like an Easter hedgehog.
He was Cupid for Valentine's Day.
No, that he was really a man. He was a man with a diaper. That's not the same as Cupid.
And that wasn't an arrow.
No, it was not.
And then, you know, forget about St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, no.
That was
horrible.
Yeah.
He's just a drunk Irish guy.
But, you know, I don't know if this
redundant.
Is... I didn't get a good look at him because he's a giant Earth.
Yes.
I got a bad feeling that Scuba Radio Drunken Earth Day Man has made an appearance. And I don't know. We're going to have to send someone
out. I think it's just a beach ball with a crude drawing of the continents on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like he'd been hit by a few cars, too.
Probably thinks he's invulnerable. Probably thinks he's like the boy in the bubble.
Right, John Travolta?
Yes.
Hey, what?
Yeah. Happy Earth Day to you.
That's a great Bruce Springsteen impression.
So we'll have to see what that's all about.
Yes. Or not.
Or not.
Could I please beg? Or not. Maybe we could just speak to someone from California.
Let's do that. You know, we need to talk more about rebreathers. We have this major rebreather conference coming up in Orlando. The Rebreather 3.0 forum. Or
Rebreather 3. Forum
yeah.
3.0.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. That explains the website, rf30.org.
Yeah, and Michael Meduno, he was actually the creator of Rebreather Forum 1 and 2, right, Mike? Is that right?
Correct, yep. Yeah, back in 1994 and then 96.
All right, so you would think this would be like, you know, okay, last year was Rebreather 2 Forum, the year before was 3. That is not the case. It's been a while since Rebreather 2 Forum and this one getting ready to happen in May. What happened there exactly? You know?
It has been a long time. Rebreather Forum 1, at that point, you really couldn't buy a rebreather. There were a handful on the market, not really commercially available. So that first session was really just getting people together who were interested in this, and primarily at that time it was all the tech divers. Rebreather Forum 2.0, which was in September of 96, rebreathers were just poised to take off. It was really an inflection point. There were a few units on the market. Dräger had a system. There was a system out in Japan. And so people were just getting started. So now, flash forward 15 years later, rebreathers have been out now really primarily in the technical diving community, explorers, wreck divers, that sort of thing. And now I think we're at another inflection point where rebreathers are being basically rolled out to consumers, to recreational divers. And this has been tried before, but it's really never gone forward. And now I think we're at a point where there's the support and infrastructure and training to move this forward. And so it's an exciting time, and this meeting is to kind of focus on some of the issues surrounding rebreathers so that this can move forward in a safe and efficient manner.
Yeah. Now, Michael, you have been instrumental, obviously, in working with the technical diving community. You founded Aquacore magazine, which was a, that was the tech diving magazine for several or many years. And now
Correct.
You've kind of worked into this in a whole different level. Is that what you're doing? Because you're still kind of one of the go-to guys when it comes to rebreather diving, right?
After my magazine Aquacore was out, and we had a conference called the Tech Conference, and this was really at the birth of tech diving, and that was in the 90s. And one thing led to another, and the magazine ended up going out of business in the late 90s, etc. And I kind of dropped out of the diving scene for about the last 10 or 12 years, and just have gotten back into it in the last couple of years, and now rebreathers are really full bore. So it's an exciting time in that way.
Okay. So, and you've seen how Patty has gotten involved in the rebreather
Correct.
Stuff. I got certified on a rebreather finally last year, and mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to doing some more rebreather diving. And yeah, they are opening it up to the recreational dive community. Now, I know you have a new article that you wrote that's titled, "Are Rebreathers the Future of Diving?" Now, this is going to appear, or this is the cover story for Diver Magazine next month. Is that the thing? Is that what's going on?
Correct. And it'll be out at the Rebreather Forum. Correct.
And so that's going to come out next month, I assume. And it'll debut probably at that Rebreather Forum. Is that what you're saying, too?
Yeah.
They're going to have
yes,
the copy?
Correct.
Okay. So you've sent me an advanced copy of this. It is very informative.
Not as many pictures as you would have liked.
No. Right. Too many words.
Yes. But I did read
right.
it, which is a feat in itself.
Yes.
But it documents the history of where rebreathers are and where we're headed for these things. What's your gut feeling? Do you feel this? Are we going to get over this hump, and is it indeed going to be the new Nitrox or the big infusion of energetic or younger divers into the industry? Because I know that's one of the focuses.
I believe it is. I think it's still going to take some time, but right now we're at a place where there is finally the infrastructure to support rebreather technology and consistent training, et cetera. I think Patty will help move this forward. And the issues right now are a couple-fold for the future. First of all, right now, rebreathers do not have the greatest safety record. They are complex machines. They've been used by technical divers, but there's still a higher fatality rate, higher risk rate than open circuit scuba. And so one of the things that needs to be addressed as this goes forward is to improve that safety record. And I think Patty and others are working to do that, particularly for the recreational divers. There's kind of two approaches. Number one, that the technology itself has gotten easier. Where in the past, rebreathers have been more in test pilot mode. You know, you have to be a very accomplished diver to be able to manage this technology, like flying a small plane on instruments. So now the technology, through automation and other things, like all technology, is getting simpler to use. So the new rebreathers are sort of moving towards where the iPhone wants to go in computer technology, to be easier, simpler, and more reliable. I remember as one of my friends, Kevin Gurr, who's rebreather manufacturer of VR technology, said, you know, when you get in your car to drive, you don't have to reach around behind the seat and make sure the fuel line's on and turn on your brakes and all that. You just turn on the key. You turn on the computer, and the computer does all that for you. And I think that's where rebreathers are moving. The second thing that Patty has sort of innovated is to take a more limited use case, and that is to focus it on really recreational, no-stop diving, no diving deeper than 40 meters. And I think with those two things in place, that's going to help it go forward.
Yeah. Prices are an issue, and they're starting to come down too. But, you know, part of that technological advance sounds very appealing, especially with, you know, like an iPad type of thing. The latest and greatest makes it easier and more accessible. But is there a downside to that? We're going to address that next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to rebreather diving, at least for now.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
That a moray in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Hi, this is Angela Little, Miss August 1998 Playboy Playmate, and you're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And here's my close personal friend, Greg, the dive master.
Octopus has some suction.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, back in 1998 when she was Playboy Playmate, there was a renaissance, so to speak, for rebreather diving, but it kind of...
It petered out.
Yeah.
just saying.
Oh, boy. Michael Menduno. Am I saying your name right,
actually,
Michael?
And the reason there was so much space between was because once you get to be 21, you get kicked out of the Menudo.
No, that's not true.
It's something different?
Now, it's something different.
Michael, just so we get this clear for everybody, what do you consider yourself now? Like a freelance writer in the technical diving community or what? Because you
I'm a journalist by profession, and diving is something I love and have written about for a long, 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 long time, and I'm writing about diving again. Correct.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now, I you know, we were talking before the break about how the rebreathers are starting to, you know, interject into the recreational dive community now. Paddy's behind it. There's a big push. This rebreather forum happening in Orlando May 18th. By the way, once again, you can go to rf30.org, I think.
It's rf30.org.
There you go. And you know, and they're going to be talking about that. You can come learn about rebreathers. You can try them out. All the manufacturers are going to be on display on Friday and have a little pool session, so to speak. However, you know, I know within the rebreather community, there is some controversy. There's some folks that are beating or bumping heads a little bit because they think the technology is getting too easy or making it so simple for anybody to put on one of these rebreathers and basically follow a green light. It says green light, go, you can dive, and if it's a red light, don't. And in theory, that sounds great that, you know, hey, they're making the rebreathers almost idiot-proof in a way, but there's definitely people in the technical diving rebreather community that are thinking, hey, this is setting up a bad precedent because the people learning how to do this are going to get in over their heads or start diving beyond their means. What's your thoughts on that in particular?
Well, it's an issue. I mean, in the technical diving community right now, the risk rate for diving rebreathers is generally regarded as higher than open circuit. It might be as much as an order of magnitude higher than open circuit. But that's in technical diving. These are people that are going deep and long, etc. But still, rebreathers, even the improved machines, require a higher level of discipline on the diver's part to operate these machines. They have to work through a checklist, very important, on each dive, both pre-dive and post-dive. And they have to take much better care of the equipment. Scuba, open circuit scuba, of course, is very forgiving. If the units aren't working, it's immediately clear because you can't breathe or it's free-flowing. Rebreathers are a lot subtler. And so I think the concern is that, you know, it's going to take more work on the part of recreational divers to be able to dive this technology. And it's more expensive technology. However, if they're able to do that, you know, there are a lot of benefits. I mean, it really opens up the underwater world in a way that open circuit scuba doesn't. People can have 3 to 5 hours of dive time on a set of tanks, and that's roughly independent of depth. So it really expands the underwater envelope. It's also silent. There's not the noisy bubbles, and so you're much more a part of the environment, and fish and other wildlife are less intimidated by you. And then the breathing is warm, moist air. So this is another thing that makes you a diver more comfortable. So there are a lot of benefits, but they come at the price of slightly higher discipline and work involved to dive these units.
Yeah, you know, when I got my certification on the Inspiration and Evolution rebreather, I was blown away when I did this 3-hour dive. I never thought that was humanly possible, first off. But to do it and experience it, it was a phenomenal, life-changing experience in my diving career. It was like learning to dive or having that first experience on open circuit. That's kind of how it felt when I did the rebreather thing. And but I got to say, after going through the training and realizing that, yeah, there is a lot more to these rebreathers as far as setting them up and making sure you don't forget to do this or that, because, like you said, one little minor omission or miss of a checklist or something, I mean, it can kill you. I mean, they're not very forgiving in that regard. And you can see how something like that could sneak up on you. So I got to say, I'm a little caught on that, and I'm sure they're going to address some of those issues at this rebreather forum. That's probably going to be one of the, I don't know, breakout sessions, I'm guessing, isn't it, or do you know?
Yes, it'll be definitely a focus at the rebreather at the forum. And you know, you were talking about checklists. This is very important. A typical rebreather may have a 40-item checklist that you have to work through each time you dive the unit, and it's essential that divers do that. And what happens is that, you know, in the class people do it, and maybe the first 20 or 30 or 40 dives they do it, But, you know, nothing happens. The equipment these days is very reliable. There's no problems. And so they get lax, and they stop doing their checklist. And then that is really the problem, that they forget to turn on a cylinder or assemble their unit correctly, and then that can come back to bite them. So it's really essential with this new kind of diving, rebreather diving, that people are disciplined about it. You know, it requires a higher order, as we're saying, than open circuit scuba.
Yeah. Now, do you think it's going to get to the point where people actually get into diving straight out of the box from a rebreather and skip open circuit altogether? Because there are different animals all the way around. I mean, honestly, when you're learning to dive a rebreather, if you've have a lot of experience on open circuit, sometimes that can work against you a little bit. I think it worked against me initially on buoyancy for sure, because it's just a totally different way to maneuver with this equipment underwater as opposed to having tanks. You think?
Right. It doesn't respond to your breath. If you hold your breath or take in a deep breath, you don't rise, and if you exhale, you don't sink. It's all the system itself. You have to operate the controls to operate your buoyancy. I do think that's where we're headed. It's going to take a while. And, you know, if you look at it as a big picture, it's really the nature of technology, be it computers or airplanes or vehicles. You know, really governments are the first ones who are able to fund technology typically, and then it moves down into the commercial world, and eventually it moves down to consumers, and then consumers, you know, turn out to drive the technology. I mean, that's what's happening in computers, for example. The first computers were these big honking things that filled a room, and the government, you know, there were two or three of them in existence, and the governments were the only ones to afford it. And then we got to mini computers and mainframes, and now, you know, we have computers in our mobile phones.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much technology, but it definitely makes things easier and more accessible. Rebreather Forum, May 18th through the 20th, rf30.org. Go there for more information and join us that weekend here in Orlando. More coming up.
Scuba Radio. Scuba. Scuba Radio.
Chip coming up shortly. I see we have, is this Barry's dialed up, 888-88-SCUBA? He's down in the Keys doing his MS back ride today, or to benefit finding a cure for MS. Barry, how are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic.
So are your legs aching after your 75-mile trek from South Florida down to Key Largo today?
Not exactly. I'll give you a clue. My average speed today was over 70 miles an hour.
My God, you are superhuman.
Wait, hey, hold on. Hold on. Hold on one second.
What? That's just a very fast bike.
Hold on. No.
What?
No. No, you drove to Key Largo?
No. What happened was the thunderstorms were so bad, my wife put me on the bike on the back of the truck, and she drove me down to Key Largo.
Okay. And you sat in the bike in the back of the truck.
Wanted to see what it was like to go really fast.
Yeah. Why did you do this, Barry? What happened?
I thought.
They canceled the ride today because the thunderstorms just rolled in. You can't predict the weather, and it was pretty bad. So they had to cancel today's ride, but we already had a room down here. And, we're just enjoying a beautiful... It's overcast, but it's a nice steady rain, and I'm sitting out here looking at a nice canal full of beautiful boats.
Very nice. Well, what better place to spend Earth Day than down in the Florida Keys? Why not? So,
it's a great place.
So the ride got is it postponed or canceled? Are they going to do it another week or two, or do we know?
No, it's just too much work to try to get this thing together. What they're trying to do is see if they can throw something together for tomorrow. Yeah. Meanwhile, all the riders are kind of stuck down here just drinking and enjoying a nice quiet day.
Yeah, so I'm sure that's going well for you, Barry.
The drinking part?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yes. It's one of the best MS bike rides he's ever done. And he got our full support, and you can still support him as well. We got a link on the Scuba Radio Facebook page to support Barry's ride.
They don't get as much support if it's just going to be a drinking marathon. Yeah. It's harder to get support for
that. Speaking of drinking marathon, that guy dressed up as a giant Earth. I think he's been drinking.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 34. Back in the 1700s, early sailors would often mistake manatees for the mythical mermaid.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Now you know the real reason why you should never drink and dive.
I don't know, he looks kind of hairy and slobbery to me.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio today is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. Now, Nick, we've talked before about planning for a dive trip, and I maintain you cheated and crammed sub-tips into your tips last time, but I was wondering if you still have any follow-up tips for when you're actually on the vacation.
Sure I do. I've always got more tips to help keep divers safe and having fun.
I thought you might. So what does Dan recommend that will help improve our dive travel?
Well, everything we suggest is really pretty simple. For example, when you get to your destination, take a few minutes to check your gear. Make sure none of it was damaged during your travel.
Better to discover it then than when you're ready to do your first dive.
It won't make a good first dive. Checking your gear upon arrival gives you the time to repair or replace any gear that might need it, or rent anything that you might need. As we all know, taking care of your gear and being comfortable with it is a big factor in safe diving.
Even if my gear's good to go, I like to find the operation when I arrive, if only to know where it is and meet the staff.
I like to do that too. It's one less thing I have to do the first morning of diving, and sometimes you can even get all your paperwork done.
I'm on board with anything that means less thinking in the morning. Okay, so what's next?
Stock up on water. Most dive boats provide water while on board, but it's always a good idea to have some extra bottled water on hand. Even if you don't need it on the boat, you'll have it with you to keep hydrated throughout the day.
It also solves that don't drink the local water problem.
Why, yes, it does.
So far, so simple. What else?
A lot of popular dive locations are in sunny spots, so keep the sunscreen handy and apply often. It's a pretty basic safety tip, but sunburn is no fun, and it can sneak up on you quicker than you think and really put a damper on your vacation.
I know what you mean. I've seen a lot of good lobster impressions out there. I'm the best, by the way.
And if you ever had to put on a wetsuit over a sunburn, you know, and you don't want to do it twice.
Yeah, ouch! How about some tips for the diving itself?
That's the easiest of all. When you're diving in a new or foreign location, the best thing you can do is listen. Listen closely to your dive briefings. It's likely you'll be diving a site new to you, or at least one you don't dive frequently. So listen to what the dive master has to say. They're the key source of information about that dive.
And it's not just about currents and profiles either. I've heard briefings that had information about local laws on fishing, artifact recovery, and a few other things that can get you in trouble.
And trouble can be real trouble, especially in foreign countries. So it's good to pay attention. Not only do boat procedures and dive procedures differ from operator to operator, but also local laws and customs, too.
And once the dive is done, dive staff can be a good information source for those surface intervals, too.
They are indeed, which brings me to my last point.
Bring it home, Nick.
Above all, when you're on vacation, take care of you. Trips can be really exciting and adventurous, and that's one of the best things about them for a lot of people. But it's okay to take some time to relax. Especially if you're diving, even on vacation, the same rules still apply. Get plenty of sleep, eat well, take it easy on the alcohol.
You're not saying don't drink on vacation. Come on.
I'm saying everything in moderation. And if you do choose to drink, Take it easy and drink plenty of water along with it. Remember the tip about keeping water handy and staying hydrated.
Way to tie it all together.
Thanks, I try. One last thought, and don't forget to put aside some decompression time before you fly home. Save some of your sightseeing for your last day, or spend it relaxing in a hammock. But definitely remember to build in that buffer between your last dive and the flight home.
That's getting awfully close to a sub-tip.
A reminder, just a friendly reminder.
You put a lot of time and effort into planning a trip, so take these very simple tips and maximize your experience once you reach your destination. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, so our current staff of one has brought in this, well, has connected to this guy who's dressed up as Giant Earth. I assume it's for Earth Day. He gave him a cell phone, and we have him on the line. Hi, who's this?
You're on Scuba Greg, Radio. Hey, Greg, how you doing? This is the planet Earth.
Great. It is. Scuba Radio, Drunken Santa. No, you said you were going to handle, or you were going to start doing all the holidays and to make a few extra bucks or give you a reason to drink. I don't know what the hell's going on. But that was you that almost rolled into me on the way to the studio today. What the heck are you doing, man?
Greg, all holidays are sacred, but what without Earth Day, there are no holidays, right? Because we'd be floating out into space.
Okay, I guess.
And in space, no one can hear your radio show.
Well, that's not entirely true. We broadcast throughout the universe, for what it's worth there. Scuba Radio, Drunken Earth Day Man. I don't know, what is that? What are you, Earth Day Man? What the heck is this?
I am the planetoid known as Earth. Probably the best planet in the Milky Way.
Now what?
And I am, to demonstrate that,
yeah.
I have a suit that looks like the planet Earth is green, and I am incontinent in costume.
Oh my gosh!
And I am eating a Milky Way.
You're eating a Milky Way.
Yes. Yeah,
candy bar.
Yeah,
not the galaxy.
But they always come out as Baby Ruth.
Explains why China is yellow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody, clean up your litter and try to reduce and reuse and stop dumping stuff into landfills.
Well, that's a nice, I guess, it's mantra
a
for
good,
Earth Man.
A good
Earth Day.
Planetoid known as Earth Man.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah, keep the Earth. Leave the Earth as you found it.
Yeah, you know, I would recommend...
When you leave this Earth, leave only footprints and take only pictures.
Okay. All right, interesting.
Are there any other bumper stickers you're reading as the cars go past?
Hey.
Honk if you love the Earth.
honk on this.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, I mean, I don't really understand the purpose of you being out on the street corner, I guess waving at people is one thing, but you really shouldn't roll in front of fast-moving cars like you did did to me. That's I understand there's padding on this suit of yours, but that's not really the best way to get your point across to save the
Earth. You were not looking where you were going. You were texting.
Oh, shush. Don't spread those nasty rumors there, Earthman.
And contrary to popular belief, I'm not trying to drum up interest in an apartment complex for drivers to pull into.
Wait a minute. Is this David Lee Roth?
Hey, it could be. Hey, it's, you know, you can only perform so often.
What?
Just forget it. It's a long story. But
happy Earth Day to everybody, and especially all you divers. divers are usually pretty good about conservation, and they understand about helping the ocean and keeping the earth safe for all humans.
That's a nice thought, and, you know, 70% of the earth's surface is covered by ocean, right? So that's... I guess if we're going to celebrate, I never thought that you would jump into the whole Earth Day thing.
That would explain why I always have to pee.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He's well hydrated.
All right. Well,
explains why China's yellow.
Do you got anything else for
twice
us?
Twice on that joke. Otherwise,
I know. I don't get it.
We'll let you go play bumper pool with the cars passing by and promoting Earth Day. They're Scuba Radio drunken Earth Day man.
I would just like to say that I take this Earth seriously,
yeah.
And I will not be making any jokes about Uranus.
Okay.
Wait,
thank you. Good night, everybody.
Okay, that's enough.
You'll be here all week.
Oh, my gosh.
What his drink of choice was. I wonder what the Earth drinks.
Is he still there? Let's find out. What does the Earth drink? Do we know?
I drink in the love of all my people.
Yes, that was enough. Wow. So basically, is anything... any passing motorist has that they would like to discard and recycle.
Yes.
Scuba Radio Drunken Earth Day Man is there to do his duty.
I think I'll drop him off a six of Pabst.
All right. Well, we'll leave this segment with how we usually end. We're sorry. Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
I'm not actually the diver, I'm the pump man. I have a friend who does the diving.
Is your friend experienced?
Well, he's been underwater half his life. He used to be a lifeguard in a car wash.
So dive, dive, dive. When you twist it up inside. Don't come up to fill your cup or you make it to the other side. Dive, dive, dive. Let your conscience be your guide. Life's a mess and there's too much stress. You gotta take it all in stride.
That is the Scuba Cowboy. He is performing live at the Tacoma Dive and Travel Expo this weekend. We're going to check in with him momentarily on the big show and see how that event is going on. And in the meantime, however, the hardest working man in the dive industry just got back in the country. Neil Watson is his name, and he is on Scuba Radio right now. Neil, how are you, my friend?
Boitaji to the bang.
Excuse me?
That's Portuguese.
That's
yes.
Portuguese.
Yes,
that's Portuguese.
And it's the sort of thing which if you...
Good afternoon. How you doing?
He just got back from Portuguiana. No?
No.
Where did you get
Brazil.
Brazil, that's right.
Really,
don't you know this?
They speak Spanish. They speak Portuguese in Brazil.
Neil Watson, you're the best, the hardest working
man in the dive industry ever.
Yes. Yeah, that's how they talk a little bit like that, right? Really, that was a very poor impersonation.
I don't know. We could ask the Secret Service.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. We have Kelly, the Brazilian swimsuit model, who is from Brazil, and that's how we kind of know how she talks. So we assume everybody talks like her.
Well, I've seen her. Nobody cares how she talks.
Good point. Good point. So tell us about this dive show in Brazil that you just came back from. There's a bazillion people that show up at this thing, right?
A bazillion Brazilians.
It's a great show, but the hours are unbelievable. You know, the shows in the States, like the Tacoma show that's going on now and the Chicago show, you know, they're civilized. It's from 5 to like 9 on Fridays and like 9 to 5 or 6 on Saturdays.
Right,
and 9
right.
to 4. This show on Friday was noon to 10 o'clock at night.
Wow.
Saturday it was 9 in the morning until 8 o'clock, and Sunday it was 9 in the morning to 8 o'clock. The only positive thing is the hours are long, but at about 6 o'clock, all of the big exhibitors break out the booze, and, you know, it's cachaça time, which is like the local drink, you know,
uh-oh,
the caipirinhas and the beer and everything. So it makes it a little more tolerable.
Makes the time fly. Yeah.
Yes, and the view of the attendees walking by is makes the time go faster. It's a very neat place.
There's a lot of Brazilian swimsuits on display, I'm guessing, at that show. Maybe that's just what they walk around.
Probably 100 of them. They come in a shot glass, you know.
Yeah.
400 of the bathing suits. Yeah, yeah.
Very nice.
But
very
I tell you what, it is one enthusiastic. A bunch of people, and you know, this is my fourth year down there, and the first couple of years it was kind of pretty much Stuart Cove and myself. And I mean, this year Peter Hughes was down there, Aquacat was down there, the Aggressor Fleet was down there. You know, the word is out that these people are active, they spend money, and they love to travel, and they're passionate divers, and well, everybody's after the market now. Actually, Jean Michel was down there. It was great.
Wow.
I spent a good time with him. He's a rock star down there. He was doing a book signing, and I mean, they were literally lined up around the show, you know, to do the photo op and get the book signed.
Now, did you see any groups of tourists all wearing the same color shirt, with the one out in front holding a flag that was the same color, but they were from the United States?
Yeah,
there in Brazil. Do we travel to Brazil the way Brazilians travel to Disney World?
Hmm.
Is it the same?
No.
No. Okay.
most of the Americans were in Colombia.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, I hear there's good Secret Service protection there.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Interesting.
Did that joke 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Just telling
so,
you.
It was, it sounds like, yeah, there's a lot of active divers in Brazil. I mean, what's going on there? Is it just a young diving market, and is that what we're seeing? Kind of like what you had told us or reported a few months ago when you went to the China Dive Show. Is it similar in that way?
You know what? Bonaire has been a huge market for Brazil for years. And actually, over 10 years ago when I had an operation in Nassau, my biggest wholesaler was not from the U.S. My biggest dive wholesaler was from Brazil. Back then, I was getting like groups of 20, 25, like at least once a month. The problem is, after 9/11, it got very difficult to get visas and it used to be you could stage in Miami and go to the Bahamas without an American passport, and that changed after 9/11. It became very difficult. But now you can fly from Brazil right into Nassau on Copa Airways. Plus, they've really reduced the restrictions on getting visas into the States. And it was great for me because Avianca has flights from all over Brazil into Fort Lauderdale now, which is, of course, the hub to my operations in the Bahamas. So there was a lot of enthusiasm. Stuart Cove did a presentation, and I did a presentation on the Bahamas that was, it was packed standing room only and a lot of enthusiasm other than, you know, you needed an interpreter to do the presentation, which was a little weird.
Captain Patrick, have an issue or question?
Well, not an issue, but what? Brazil, it's a booming economy. We've seen it with the boats and the yachts,
right,
where they are buying up a lot of product. And, of course, when they come to the States, they buy up a lot of stuff. So I could see where that would play into the scuba market as well, where that economy over there is just so robust as compared to other areas in the world right now.
It's not the only thing that's robust.
Yeah, well, and they're very earth conscious. You know, Earth Day, it's very pro. In Brazil, they believe in using very little material in their bathing suits.
As little as possible.
And God bless them for it. That is a dive market. That is a dive show that I think is calling for the Scuba Radio crew to come broadcast from. Maybe next year. We'll see if we can make it happen. In the meantime, go to neilwatson.com, NEALWatson.com. He'll send you to Brazil or anywhere else you want to go. He has all these operations through the Caribbean, and he'll take care of you big time. More coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.